Hey Cascade, good to be back with you. My name is John Fortune and I am a pastor with a church in Coquitlam. And it is great to be speaking to you today. Thanks for giving me that honor and just even to come into your home and speak to you about the truth of God. Can we just pause for one quick sec and realize what an amazing joy that is, that we have Christian friends and family that love Jesus just like we do. What an amazing gift that is. Today, I want to talk to you about the area of prayer. This is somewhere that I've been growing a lot in lately, and God's been speaking to me about my prayer life. One observation that came to mind as I was even preparing this sermon is ever before there was a pandemic of sickness in our lungs, there has been an epidemic of prayerlessness in our churches and in our personal lives. And this is something we need to take seriously. Jesus prayed and he called us to a life of prayer. Let me ask you, how is your prayer life? Are you praying? Are you coming to God? Are you asking him to be in control of everything in your life? Are you submitting all that to God? If you're not, I want to call you to something higher today, to grow in that area and maybe start to retrofit. Take this season of a pandemic when everything's shut down, even for the next while, and commit to growing in your prayer life. If you're listening in and you have no idea what I'm talking about, prayer life, what is he saying? Your experience with prayers is right at about eat, pray, love. That is okay. You are welcome to listen to this short meditation. But what I want to talk to you about is a subsection of prayer. So we have prayer, let's just call that conversation with God, talking to the Lord Almighty, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have prayer, conversation with God. Underneath that, there's a way of praying that I think is particularly important and something that Christian culture, especially in the West, has buried and forgotten about. And it's this area called lament. Lament or lamentation. What does it mean to lament? Put simply, John's definition, lament is finding God when you need him most. I've been there. I know you have too. There's been seasons in your life where you have really, really needed God. And lament is the way in Scripture that we find God when we need him most. Why isn't lament more important? Why isn't it higher on the list of what we practice as Christians? I think there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, we're kind of living in a historical hangover where this idea of we need to be in control of our emotions and slam down anything that we're feeling and demonstrate strength, or this Platonistic understanding that the mind is better than the physical is better than the spirit, or we need to have some sort of control over our emotional life. I think one thing I would just say to that is something Dallas Willard has taught me, is that our emotions are indeed terrible masters, but they're amazing servants. And as you begin to embrace how you actually feel, you're going to learn a lot about what's going on in your heart and in your mind and where you can grow in your trust with God. So I think, yeah, we're dealing definitely with a historical hangover, a stiff upper lip that we need to be strong before God because he's holy. But hey, let's remember, we're not. We're not. No one's pretending here. We're all in our homes because we're running and hiding from a disease. And to be honest, we're weak. This thing is hurting us. And so we do have areas where we're weak. And we need to remember that God knows we're weak. And we just need to be honest before him. I think the other reason lament is not more important in our lives is because of a term that's been, it's kind of a Bible college term, but it could be helpful for you as you're growing in your faith. It's called moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic therapeutic deism. And this is primarily how people see Christianity from the outside looking in. The assumption about religion is if I live a good life, if I trust that God has my best in mind, that things will work out eventually for my good. Now, because so many people hold to that false view of God and that false view of Scripture, you could see why lament or being honest about what's crappy in our lives would be pushed to the side. I just want to encourage you that lament is important and it's actually quite scriptural. Let me give you a brief example of a situation in my life where I learned how to lament. A few years ago, my wife and I decided to move in faith, believing that God had called us to plant a church. So we left this country and we moved into another one and we started the work, the long work of planting a church. And about 3 years in, we realized, hey, this isn't going to happen. And that was pretty hard to take. And if I'm honest with you, I was pretty hard on myself. I thought I failed. I wasn't doing something right. I could have worked harder. I could have performed better. I was really mad with the government. Why were they putting roadblocks in my way? And I was struggling with God. I was bewildered by him. I didn't understand why he would lead me to plant a church and then make it impossible for me to do so. And I didn't even know how to pray to God. And that's where I discovered the power and the beauty of lament. Let me show you an example in Scripture where we see lament being played out in a beautiful way. One of my favorite parts of the gospel story is in Matthew chapter 26. There, Matthew, who's a tax collector, a Jewish guy, and he's very close to Jesus, one of his disciples, is writing about Jesus's moments in the middle of the night in a garden called Gethsemane, the night before he was going to be crucified. So if you have a Bible, just go to Matthew chapter 26. I'm in the New International Version here. This is Matthew chapter 26, starting in verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee with him, and he began to be sorrowful. Let's just pause right there. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who was crucified and died and rose again to new life, the one who was sitting and reigning with God, experienced sorrow. That's important. We need to see that. He began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further up, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me even for 1 hour?" Verse 41, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Verse 42, Jesus went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. This is so important for us to see. Jesus is modeling for us what it looks like to be honest before God about his own desires and the difficulty that he is facing. When Jesus was facing a terribly unjust trial, illegal trial, going to the cross and being tortured and then crucified and dying, when he was facing this the next day, knowing this, he went to God. He went to God and he modeled for us what it means to bear our burdens before God. And this is what Jesus did. He said, "Even still, Lord, not my will, but your will be done." Prayer, true prayer, and therefore lamentation, prays, "Not my will be done, but instead thy will be done in the difficulty that I face. Biblical prayer, and therefore lamentation, prays, not my will be done, but thy will be done in the difficulty that I face. This is really important for you today. I need you to hear this. As you go to God, not to pray my will be done, but thy will be done in the difficulty that I face. Showing God what we how we really feel and what's really going on. The difficulties that we face. I want to give you three quick ways to begin to retrofit your prayer life with regard to lamentation, what it means to lament. And these come from a sermon from Jonathan Edwards. So the first one, the first one is to begin to pray, let our bad things turn for good. As we begin to pray and grow in the area of lamentation, let us start praying, let our bad things turn for good. Secondly, Lord, let our good things not be taken away. And lastly, let our hope be set on the best that is yet to come. So let our bad things turn for good, let our good things not be taken away, and let our hope be set on the good that is yet to come. Let me show you where I'm getting these from in Scripture. In Romans 8:28, Paul, the Apostle Paul, an early follower of Jesus, said to the Christians in Rome, he wrote a letter to them, and he said this. Let me actually flip there, so I don't want to misquote him. Romans 8:28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We know that in some things, no, not some things. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those, for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. So we can pray, Lord, let all of our bad things become good things. Lord, turn everything that is evil and everything that is wrong and everything that is broken about this situation for good, for truth, for beauty. God, would you restore the brokenness of this situation? So number one, as we pray lamentation, as we lament, this is what we need to pray, that our bad things would be turned for good. We need to say what is bad. We need to be honest about what is going on, what is wrong with the situation and how we see it. We need to be open before God with our sorrow and our grief. The best way that I've learned how to do this is just by journaling and writing down how I really feel about the brokenness of this situation. We need to pray, let our bad things become good things. Number two, let our good things not be taken away from us. There's so much that you and me are blessed with that we even get to hear preaching. There's so many good things that are given to us in our lives. But I just want to give you one example of where David, who was a king in Israel in 1000 BC, this is what he said in Psalms chapter 4. Let me go there quick. Psalm chapter 4, David writes this, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Verse 8, "In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety." We pray, Lord, don't take the good things away from me in my life, the peace that I receive when I sleep. You alone are the one who makes me safe. Lord, don't take these safe things away from me. Don't take, maybe it's family, these ones that we've loved, learned to cherish, this country that we love, this church that we love, to grow and begin to express to God our hope that he wouldn't remove these things from our life. This is a characteristic of lamentation. And lastly, one area that we need to grow is Lord, would you help us set our hope on the things that are to come? Help us to set our hope on the things that are to come. There are so many scriptures I could quote to you right now, but I just want to give you specifically one in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 9. I'm just making sure my notes are right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth, a metropolis, and this is what he says to them. None of the rulers of this age have understood the wisdom of God that's been revealed to us. None of the rulers of this age have understood, for if they had, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. This is what is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. The things that God has prepared for those who love him, that we need to pray, Lord, help us to set our hope on the things that are to come. We think of Jesus in the book of Hebrews. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That as Jesus even looked beyond and had hope in the best things that were yet to come. So number one, that our bad things, Lord, help us to pray, let our bad things be turned for good. Number two, let our good things not be taken away from us. And number three, let our hope be set on the best things that are yet to come, that are yet to come. As you think about your prayer life and you think about the difficulties that you're facing, I want to encourage you to lament. Just pause right now. Let me just pray. Let's pause right now. And Holy Spirit, would you show your people, every person listening to my voice, maybe they're watching me on a screen, would you show us stuff that we buried, stuff that we don't want to bring before you? Would you show us broken history? Help us to worship you. Help us to lament. Help us to be honest about the bad things. Lord, would you turn them for good? Lord, don't take away the good things that we've been given. Thank you for so many of the blessings, even as we've temporarily lost the fellowship of our church. Lord, restore that. And God, help us to hope in not my will be done, but thy will be done. Help us to hope in the best that is yet to come. What you would have for us. Thank you, Lord. You know, as I want to close right now, I want to go to a book in the Bible that's dedicated to lament. It's called Lamentations. In my Bible, it's on page 600 and something. Can't remember here. Yeah, 600. If you were to go to Lamentations chapter 3, you would see a poet who is writing so honestly about the brokenness that his country, his nation, his people, his family have experienced. He's being honest before God. And this is what we call Holy Scripture. Let me just read a small portion of it for you. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 18. So I say, my splendor is gone, and all that I had hoped for from the Lord. I remember my affliction and my wandering and the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And yet I call this to mind. And yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Jesus modeled for us that what prayer is and simply lamentation is, not my will be done, but thy will be done in the difficulty that I face. I want to encourage you today to take some time, be honest before God. It's okay to tell him how you really feel. Pray to the God who is in control, that our bad things would be turned for good, that the good wouldn't be taken away, and that our hope would be set on the best things that are yet to come. That it wouldn't be my will, but thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, Cascade, we're going to go into a time of remembering our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross by celebrating him in his death and in his resurrection, taking communion together. And Jonas is going to lead us in a few songs. And so if you want to get your bread and your juice or wine or whatever it is ready to take together, we'll do that now. Thank you for having me, and God bless you. Take care.